Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the show on the road. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll be out a couple times this week. We're going to be at Cooper's on Tuesday afternoon up in Timon. Even if you missed that, don't worry. We'll be back at Cooper's in Fells Point next Friday for Fleet Week. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to have some scratch-offs to give away. I have some Pac-Mans to give away. We're going to have some Lucky Sevens soon. They're available. I saw them over Costas the other day. Our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions keeping our water solutionized. And Jiffy Lube Multi-care for putting the oil in there. And my wife took the car up to the Jiffy Lube at, right across from Curio and a foreign daughter, like York and Timonium Road. 15 minutes in and out. Automatic for the people. Jiffy Lube Multi-care. Luke Jones joins us now. We've talked a lot of baseball this week. We're going to continue to talk a lot of baseball. Feels like Luke and I have been getting together in 15 years, probably more than we've ever gotten together, certainly the last 10 years, because they're playing every night. Things are happening every day. You wake up thinking Jackson Holliday is going to get called up and it's Connor Norvey. You know it's only a matter of time for Mayo and for some pitchers. Luke, welcome in. First things first, a road trip here. The Ravens doing a couple of little things this week, then the big thing next week. But a little bit of breathing time here in these American League East games that hold a lot of value, especially when you piss one away on Sunday afternoon in Tampa, or here, I should say. Hope they don't piss one away this week in Tampa. But in Toronto on Monday night, I always say garden variety victories because it feels like this team wins a lot.
Wouldn't really say garden variety, though, in the way that how they won. When you look at Austin Hayes hitting two home runs, and I mean, there was some question before the game. I saw fans talking about, well, why is Austin Hayes in the lineup? Where's Kyle Stowers? And, you know, kind of going back to the conversation you and I had a couple days ago about Brandon Hyde and what you like about him as a manager, what you don't like about him as a manager. And one of the points that I talked about was trying to balance getting some of these new guys into the lineup, getting them into the mix, at the same time, trying not to bury guys that are struggling right now, but you're still trying to get them going. And you're still recognizing that you hope they have contributions to make. And I pointed out to you through all the struggles of Cedric Mullins that Austin Hayes quietly has been okay since coming back from the IL. Hasn't been perfect, and he's had some pinch hit opportunities that didn't go well. But what was the point was not to completely give up on him. And lo and behold, he hits two home runs on Monday night to start this Blue Jays series off on the right foot. So Orioles hit four home runs. Yeah, that's part of the garden variety part of it.
Cost John Martin a lot of money every time they hit a home run. I mean, you know,
no
this,
doubt
right?
About it. No doubt about it. So, and even Ramon Urias, who comes into the game for Connor Norby as a defensive replacement, he goes to third, Westberg goes to second, and Urias hits a home run late in the game to, you know, not really insurance that they needed at that point, but you'll
and
still.
And 3 days
it.
Before that, you're wondering whether he's going to come out of the lineup, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it really was a good effort on Monday night. Grayson Rodriguez nearly gets through seven innings. You know, I think there was some debate there. Pitch count wasn't bad, but, you know, they were, you know, a couple guys got on base in the seventh inning. You want to have the guy leave the game feeling good about it. And certainly we've been talking about bullpen management and the fact that they have one off day all month. But
we've been talking about that, but that's a bigger, we should talk louder about that because to your point, every time there's a starting pitcher there, when you have to play tomorrow and you have to play tomorrow and you have to play tomorrow, you're always thinking like, well, let me get two more batters out of Rodriguez and get to the left hand. You know what I mean? Whatever it is in the lineup that Hyde's going to have to be thinking that way. And the fact that what we talked about all day yesterday, which was Means and Wells not coming back and where's Kramer and they're tiptoeing through this, and I call them garden variety victories, and they win two out of three. But, I mean, they don't do it without us talking every morning about, like, pitching, bullpen, arms, Bradish, you know. I mean, all of it's very – Kimbrel, all of it's very wavy gravy. And really, that's what makes it fun, right? I mean, they have to go play again tonight. And we'll be saying that all month because they play every day but one.
Yeah, and it's all related. And I said to you about, you know, you mentioned Sunday's game and them letting that get away. I think a big reason why they lost Sunday's game was Kyle Bradish didn't go very deep on Saturday, and they had to use their bullpen so extensively. So then, as a result, on Sunday, tried to squeeze a couple more outs out of Cole Irvin. He gives up a home run in his last inning. He pitched well, but you see that happen. And then You tried to stretch with Dylan Tate more than you would like, but that's the reality. And that's why baseball is a marathon because, yeah, you're trying to win that night's game, but you better be thinking about what that means for tomorrow and what that means for the day after that. I mean, it's all related in that way. I mean, these are human beings, and these arms, to your point, as you mentioned, John Means and Tyler Wells, we find out on Monday, John Means had Tommy John revision surgery, was in Texas and had his arm operated on. So, I mean, he's not coming back. He's probably not going to be available to pitch until late next year, best case scenario, whether it's with the Orioles or someone else as he enters free agency. But this is part of it. So you're trying to win that night's game. You're trying to put your best foot forward, but there's always a cost to that. There's always impact to that. And baseball, unlike any other sport, because you do play just about every day, and in the Orioles case, literally every day but one this month. So, good win on Monday night. And certainly Cano came in and gave them an inning and a third. Keegan Aiken pitches the ninth, but Grayson Rodriguez pitched well, and the Orioles got to old friend Kevin Gausman, hitting a total of four home runs, but three against him in what was easily one of his worst starts of the year.
Yeah, I was always a Gausman guy, right? I was always hoping he wouldn't go that Arrieta route where he would get really good when he left. And he was pretty good when he left. I mean, certainly, it's not like we could have used him around here in 18 or 19 or 20 when things weren't going well. But that is interesting. He is one of the guys, and this goes back to McPhail, that, sort of worked out, right? I mean, he's a guy that is a real – he was a lottery pick for a crappy team in a bad year. And sort of kind of figured it out a little bit, kind of arrived here a little early, right? And they didn't know what to do with them and kind of screwed them up a little bit within that Buck era. But you're going back a long time here. We're talking about Kevin Gausman, seeing him out on the hill. Like, I don't know. It kind of takes me through the years of where they've been, what they used to do wrong. And now seeing him against Rodriguez, he is Rodriguez, right? To some degree, as far as the kind of prospect, he's a better prospect as a draft pick, at least. And I mean, he made it. He made it.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Kevin Gausman had more success than Jake Arrieta had here. I mean, he did. I mean, he had a couple seasons where, he's pretty good. Now, you're always
Well, I
waiting
didn't
for that
mean
next
here. I
level.
meant Arrieta went there and became Jim Palmer. You know
Oh,
what I mean?
no, I
Yeah.
follow what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying that Jake Arrieta, by and large, was a failure as an Oriole. Kevin Gausman wasn't a failure as an Oriole. Did he realize his full potential? No, but he had some big moments. He had some good seasons. And to your point, yeah, they were in the midst of when he arrived, they were already starting to contend, albeit, surprisingly. But he was drafted in 12. He was in the major leagues relatively quickly. And then he was in that in-between spot in terms of, okay, you want to develop him as a starter from a big picture standpoint, but he helped them in the bullpen in the 2014 postseason, for example.
Hey, all
Remember, he
hands
was.
on deck in a pennant race, right?
Yeah, so there was some of that at work, but yeah, I mean, Kevin Gausman, he was always going to be traded. I mean, there was no, I disagree with you as far as they could have used him in, 18, 19,
No,
20 innings.
I
They were
didn't. I
terrible.
said it wouldn't help them. That was
No,
my point.
oh no, I follow. But the point was the trade that they made was lousy. Dan Duquette traded him for a bag of baseballs, basically. They dumped his salary. I mean, that's essentially what they did with Kevin Gausman. Or, they'll try to tell you that they
Well, and that
didn't, but
tells you the way this
they
place was
got
run.
very
That
little.
that's how this
Well,
place was
yeah.
run for a long time. And now
Yeah.
you look at it and you don't feel like, well, Elias or Rubenstein or Peter Angelos or Mama Angelos is going to come in and screw with the baseball operation and screw with pitchers and screw with their money or screw with their clock. I mean, which maybe leaving Gausman alone, because this makes me think of donuts when I'm, having
Yeah.
a Laurel Farms coffee in the morning out of my cold roofing mug. I'm thinking like Gausman. Oh, but like my point on him was like he wouldn't have helped them in 18. They were not going to
Oh,
pay him
yeah.
anyway, and they were so woefully. He came too early. For the blossoming of his career. In Arrieta's case, they just screwed him up, and they could have used Arrieta here in the pennant race in 13 and 14 and 15. For me, with the Norby thing and the Jackson Holliday thing. We woke up and, we certainly speculated Mateo getting hit in the head. And by the way, it took me a minute and three tweets to realize like Brian Roberts was calling a game about a guy
Yeah.
getting hit in the head. It was right.
Weird.
So, yeah. But the Norby call up, In the old world, this would be the old man saying, we're not going to start holidays, clock, blah, 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 money, service time. You know, like, you know, I mean, Norby, it feels like, and certainly to see the kid at his locker and up all night and coming in, it harkened back to me when I had a press credential. I was a media guy for 23 years where I knew these guys, and I would get to know these kids in Fort Lauderdale wearing number 72 and headed toward the Salisbury, Sally Lee, you know, wherever they were going and making it, you know, the Damon Bufords and the, you know, the just guys that I knew as young people who blossomed. Matt Riley, I'm thinking of, you know, players of that era. Calvin Pickering, Rocky Coppinger, you know, all of these guys that got that call. And then you're standing in the locker room and they walk in with their bags from, in my day, it was Rochester. Then it was, you know, Ottawa, and now Norfolk. And there's something about that when a kid gets called up and put in the starting lineup. You know, there's part of, I don't know if that's a baseball tradition or something. It's a little bit, hey, we're going to call you up. You're going to play. You know, we're not going to just have you sit up here at the end of the bench unless you're that kind of player. But in this circumstance, they all know each other. They all grew up together. They all eat SpaghettiOs together on a bus, you know, driving through Virginia. And so they're, and they all talk Stowey and Westy. And, you know, it takes me back to the Big Bopper and the Bee. So, you know, all the nicknames and all of that stuff, but to see a young guy come up that, you know, he was blah. I mean, there was no saying he absolutely was going to wear an Oriole hat up here.
Yeah. And I think the other part of this is we don't know how long he's going to be here either. I mean, Jorge Mateo's on the they have the 7-day injured list for concussion specifically. And, you know, they're obviously hopeful that he's not going to be out very long. And Jorge Mateo was playing well. You know, this isn't a performance based kind of decision. This is an injury based decision. So nice to see Connor Norby get an opportunity. Went 0-for-3, had a couple strikeouts, but they had the one weird double play where it deflected off the pitcher. It goes right to him, gave Henderson a really nice feed to turn the double play. That was good to see. Even with him, he gets replaced late in the game. Defense is not considered his forte, his strongest element. You know, he's much more of a bat guy. Not that he's a bad defender, but, you know, he's not projected to be a Gold Glove caliber infielder in the way that Joey Ortiz was, for example. So Urias comes in the
Who's
game.
Who's doing okay, by the way, that Ortiz guy.
He's
right?
Doing great.
There's another guy. That's my point, that when an Eduardo Rodriguez works out, I mean, this goes back to my dad, you know, with local kids like Musas and Mike Bilecki, when they would go play. I always tell, Brian Kowitz, I said, I followed your whole career. Oh, that's nice. No, dude, I worked at the paper. I checked your stats every week. I put it on loop leaders. We go back to that last Friday with you. But like when guys get a chance, there is something really beautiful about that. And when they take advantage of it, and when they get blocked, and when they get traded, and when the trade works out, when you get something back that you want, you know, an ace starter in a year when you're trying to win a World Series. You know, this organization's so fat, I guess, that we talk about it all the time, but there goes your proof when they could have called Holiday up and they wind up calling Norby up, and you're not like, oh, they just doing them a favor. No, they're in a pennant race, playing games, putting them in a lineup. They want them to do better than two strikeouts and over.
I mean, they do, but it also speaks to just kind of where they are right now, roster wise. I think they did want to give Connor Norby an opportunity here. I think there is some merit to that idea, and I think there was an idea that if this isn't the time for Jackson Holiday to come up and stay for good, then don't bring him up for 5 days, right? Or don't bring him up for 7 days. And I'm fine with that. As I noted to you, I think we might have even been off the air. You know, he's swinging the bat better of late. Jackson Holiday is the last couple weeks. So that's good to see.
Well, he's
as well.
Kid.
His
he's
time's
19
coming.
Years
you know,
old.
He's going to be here
made
at
adjustments,
some point.
Right? Like they're asking him to do something. He's probably going to take it and do it. That's who he is, right?
Well, but this is also the first time he ever struggled, if we talk about it in those terms. So in the meantime, Connor Norby gets an opportunity. Connor Norby had, you know, I think he was up to 900-some career plate appearances at AAA. You know, he's been there over a year. Go back to the end of 22 was when he got the call to Norfolk. So he's been there a while. So I think it is important, even if it's just for a week, even if it's just to make a couple starts and Ramon Urias starts a few games too, and that's all it is, to give him a look. And I think with Connor Norby, you look at his long-term projection, it's tough looking where he fits in other than a potential bench role. And that's why people have cited him as someone who could possibly be included in a deal for a pitcher or whatever it might be. So, but in the meantime, you see what you have. You know, he can play, obviously he's primarily a second baseman, but with Holiday playing second base at Norfolk this year, he's played a lot of corner outfield as well. He's played left field and right field. So if he were to stick with the Orioles in a long-term setting, he's probably a super utility backup infielder / fifth outfielder type, which, hey, there's a place for that on your roster if you can play. So
it's better than a McKenna, right? In that case,
yeah,
or Flaherty,
I mean, hoping,
kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, but that's kind of what you're most likely envisioning him to be, that kind of a role. Because I mean, Gunnar Henderson's their shortstop, Jackson Holliday is going to be their second baseman, Jordan Westberg. I mean, even 2 months ago, someone might have said Jordan Westberg might be the super utility guy long term. He's been an all-star caliber third baseman. So that's not even talking about Kobe Mayo and what kind of bat he provides and projects to have at the next level, even though he's banged up right now and on the injured list. So, you know, you've got all these guys and not all of them are going to be able to play. And that's why we've talked about the good problem that Mike Elias has had, but it is a problem to try to figure out, okay, who are the guys that you want to keep? Who are your dudes? And who are the guys that you think a little bit less of, but you want to try to maximize their trade value? And that doesn't mean you don't think they're going to make it. You know, Joey Ortiz looks like a guy who's going to be a legitimate major leaguer. And, you know, his first 2 months as a everyday player in the major leagues, it's gone really well. Milwaukee has to be thrilled with what they've gotten in the Corbin Burns trade. And the Brewers are still really good. So, you know, there's always this perception. And, you know, I Buck Showalter talked about this. You know, I've heard Eric DaCosta mention this in passing as well, but when you make a trade with the team, there's always this perception from a fan standpoint that you want to fleece the other side, right? And sometimes it plays out that way. But really, when you're a general manager, when you're an executive, when you're trying to work with other teams, it really comes down to you want to try to, when you make a trade, yeah, you want to, quote, win the trade. But you want it to work out for both sides because you want to be able to do business with them in the future as well. And if there's ever any perception of, man, you really oversold that guy, or you really undersold this health concern about him or whatever it might be.
Well, the health concern speaks to integrity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and look, I'm not
saying.
And
that's buyer beware. That's, hey man, your doctors, you get your orthopedist on the kid's knee.
No doubt.
Right.
No doubt. Yeah. But the overall point is typically with these trades, you want both sides to come away from it feeling okay about it at the very least. And so far with Milwaukee, I mean, I think the Orioles are, Corbin Burns has been everything they thought he would be. And on the flip side, Joey Ortiz, now DL Hall has been a different story because he's hurt and the velocity was down. And I'll continue to say, I think DL Hall is going to be a late inning reliever. And yeah, that has some value to it, but certainly wasn't so much that you weren't going to pull the trigger if you can acquire Corbin Burns. But Joey Ortiz is looking like, you know, he's played third base for them. He's probably going to be their shortstop long-term because they're in a position with Willy Adames, who I believe is a free agent after this year, who's the primary shortstop. So, you know, he's looking like a legit major league player, and it would just be the latest out of the many coming out of this Orioles system. So, you know, with Connor Norby, whether it's 1 week, whether this is the start of him becoming a super utility guy for the Orioles, or whether this maybe amounts to a pseudo showcase for him to potentially be dealt and included with a couple other prospects for some pitching at the trade deadline. Who knows? But in the meantime, it's cool to see him here. He's someone who's been on the radar for a couple years. He's been at Norfolk for a while. He's been buying his time and putting in the work. I know they've put in a lot of work with him trying to improve his defense, but you know, he's been an 850 OPS kind of guy at the AAA level. I mean, that warrants an opportunity. That warrants a look, whether it's with the Orioles or wherever he ultimately is going to play in the major leagues. So, you know, in the meantime, see if he can give you a spark. And, you know, if he's here a week, he's here a week. But it's always fun seeing these guys caught up. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that, Monday was actually the 5-year anniversary of the Orioles drafting Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson. So think about those days and think about where they are 5 years later. I remember you and I talking 5 years ago about that. And my goodness, this where they are now, it felt so long away. Even if you were optimistic, even if you were confident.
Even
in
if
Mike
you
Elias,
read Astro Ball.
even if all those things, it still felt so long away. And now we're talking about a team that, let's face it, has been good to great for close to 2 years now. So, I mean, it's not a fluke. It's not a Cinderella story anymore. It's just, it's who they are. And now it's just a matter of need to keep winning because the New York Yankees keep winning. Although they gained a half game on Monday night because the Yankees were idle, but it's very much, this is another
tight
division.
All I got to worry
about
with the Yankees is beating them in game one, and I'll continue to be flipping all year with you on the whether they win. I am not scoreboard watching because at the end, you better be healthy enough to beat them in a five-game, seven, whatever's going to get put in front of you in October, and you want to earn that, but you can't beat them every night. You can only beat the team in front of you. You know what I mean? Like, and that's – especially in June, dude. You know what I mean? Like, but again, I'm wearing my State Fair shirt. We're going to be over at State Fair Thursday. We have the end of the Toronto series at 1 o'clock. We're going to be doing a little brunch thing. So my friend Hump and Howie stopping by. We're going to talk about all sorts of memories because Howard was my original hockey friend 40 years ago. So we're going to be at State Fair. I'll be giving away Pac-Man scratch-offs. We're going to be next week. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday in the afternoon. We're six coming by. Max Weiss. It's going to be a good time. Then the following week, we're going to be at Costas on the 20th. Because the Orioles are playing up in New York, and that's the end of another series afternoon game there, late afternoon game. We're going to be doing the show at Costas in the afternoon, so come on out for that. That's when you want to wake me up with this Yankee thing. You know, 2 weeks from now, they play each other. Do you think it's a shame they don't play each other 19 times a year anymore? Or are you on to this, let's play the Cardinals, let's play the Reds? You're younger than me, so I mean, maybe you have a different take on it, but I think the rainout thing weirds me out when they have two games and three games in these series and it rains.
Yeah, I like a more balanced schedule from the standpoint of if you're going to have a system where you have three wild cards now, I think you need to have a more balanced schedule then. You and I, we've already scrimmaged this. We'll continue to debate. I mean, certainly your point has merit as far as thinking about the big picture in October, but you also have to get to that five game series, whether it's against the Yankees or whoever it is. And if you're a wild card team, you've got to play that three game where you have a bad 24 hours and you could be done. I mean, that's how quickly it can fall apart. And we saw this happen last year to a couple teams that were favored in the wild card round.
Or you can sit around all week and hit fungos and welcome Luke out to media day and then get your ass kicked 3 days in a row. Right. Like that.
Yeah,
happened
well,
too.
I mean, there's that. Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, it's the same thing talking about the Ravens, you know, as the number one seed, rest versus rust, right? I mean,
slowing
all
down pitching is weird.
Can
and slowing down bat speed's weird. It's weirder in baseball. Like every year it strikes me as weird when you sit around and go out there to afternoon practices and the sun's setting and games are on all day and they're not playing. Feeling good about that, to your point, like we earn that, and then you get out there and the pitcher's on 9 days and they can't figure anything out.
Yeah.
You know,
but you know what's not weird whatsoever? Losing two in a row and then you're done. I mean, how many times do the best teams in baseball lose two in a row over the course of a season and then you're done? I mean, not even a best of five, it's a best of three. Anyway, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that because this team in some shape or form is going
to
be in the postseason again. I mean, short of something, short of a collapse, I mean, they're going to be.
We better
in
not
in
be
some...
talking about them not making the playoffs in September.
Well, I mean,
Mr.
if that
Rubenstein's
going
to be getting some pointed letters from me if that happens.
I mean, if that happens, then we're probably talking about more elbow injuries and more pitching injuries and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, in the meantime, you know, you have this team that, you know, started this stretch, two four-game sets against AL East opponents and a good way to start the series on Monday night. Burns pitches, I'll point out, you know, you're seeing a lot of TBA right now. You know, Brandon Hyde's trying to figure this out in terms of how to slot these guys. Where does someone like Cade Povich potentially fit in? Dean Kramer has started to throw a little bit. He's still going to be a little ways, and he's probably going to need a rehab assignment. So Kramer might be a couple more weeks, but they seem to be encouraged and positive as far as, you know, how he is. You know, it's a triceps issue. It's not an elbow or shoulder or anything like that. So
well, the Povich thing is,
you know,
a lot
so we'll
about
see on
keeping
that front,
him on rotation, right? Like when he's going to pitch to make sure that they don't have him on 7 days and they can't throw him on three or four in the big leagues. That's going to happen this week, right? That's the next thing.
I mean, probably. I mean, you know, they're really trying to. I think they'd really like to give Kyle Bradish an extra day as much as possible. I think they'd like to give some of these, you know, whether you're talking about a veteran or a young guy, I think you'd like to give an extra day from time to time. But when you literally have one off day all month, and look, I mean, it's their schedule. It's just part of it. It's not an excuse, but it's part of the reality right now, that, you know, you're trying to figure this out. But at the same time, how much of that factors into how do the starters pitch every given night? What impact does it have on the bullpen? You want to keep enough flexibility because you might need a bullpen arm, you know, to you know, they made the move, recalling Nick Vespe, and they sent Vieira out, you know, the guy whose name I forgot yesterday. Clearly, they didn't think very much of him on his one outing that we saw last week, where he did not retire a batter. So he will go down as having an infinite ERA with the Orioles unless he gets, you know, unless he's outrighted to Norfolk and finds his way back on the roster at some point. So, you know, it's a challenge, but at the same time, it's still a really good baseball team. And it's not something that I think you view through a lens of impending doom or anything like that, but they have to navigate it. And it's certainly a challenge with, you know, trying to win every night. To the point I made about Sunday's game, where I felt like Sunday's game was absolutely, you know, part of the effect of Saturday's game, where Bradish gets out, knocked out early, and you got to use so many relievers. I mean, that's how it works. But at the same time, if you're in that moment, you still want to go for it. You still want to win. You still want to put your best foot forward in that spot. So that's why it's nice to have nights that they had Monday night where Grayson Rodriguez pitched well, and they hit four home runs, and it was a very you know, lack of very much of lack of drama late in the game. And those are the kind of games that Brandon Hyde likes to see more and more of.
And they woke up an all-star bat in their outfield who was buried, who, you know, we've talked about at length, who you have a relationship with Austin Hayes. I mean, he's that gamer guy as I see it from the outside. You know, you didn't think he was just going to quit and go away. I thought he was going to wind up in the Mets outfield hitting 285 with 14 jacks. You know what I mean? Like on another franchise, that's probably where it's going to wind up. But the fact that he hacked a couple on Monday night, you talk about trade value for another team that may be looking for a starting piece for an injured whatever. Not that he doesn't want to be a part of this. And it does go back to Norby and these guys, even Ryan Ripken on the other radio, knowing all of, like, they all knew each other. This has been a cluster of young players that looked up to Austin Hayes and looked up to Cedric Mullins when they weren't looking down at him, you know, when he was coming up and coming down and saying, there's your success story there. Santander, Rule 5, you know, like all of these guys, but they're going to get pushed out. I mean, everything we said about Hayes, that all still sticks, whether it's Kerstad, Kowser, Stowers, you know, a Holiday coming up, all the room you're looking for these younger, cheaper players. Hayes coming back to life is, I know you're tickled by that to some degree because you like him.
Well, I mean, I think, and I even wrote this on Monday. I mentioned it in passing in our conversation, you know, talking about the Rays series. But look, Austin Hayes got off to an absolute nightmare of a start. I mean, that's what every player, you know, you don't want to be 0 for to open the season or 5 for 50 to open the season because you're just swimming upstream. It's kind of like, think about relief pitchers when they have that terrible outing in April. I remember Jesse Orosco. He had that awful outing in that 26-7 game in 1996 against the Rangers. Orosco was great the rest of the year, but in August, his ERA still stunk because it was just one of those deals where you're just swimming upstream and statistically it's going to look bad. So in Hayes's case, I mean, the numbers still looked really bad. They still look bad after Monday night's game, but since he had come off the IL going into Monday's game, he was 10 for 34. It's not like he had been awful at the plate, you know, but he hadn't hit for power yet.
Yeah, you said that
And
right
we see
away.
him hit a couple
Monday
home
morning,
runs
you're
on
like,
Monday
he hadn't
night.
hit for power and he hits two bombs.
Yeah. So, you know, and look, part of this is also, this is how a baseball season works. And this is why, and I'm guilty of it too. I wanted Jorge Mateo DFA'd last August, and the Orioles stuck with him. And we've seen him make some very legitimate positive contributions at a time of need when Jackson Holliday struggled and they had to send him back to Norfolk. So this is why when a player gets off to a bad start, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is always, well, get rid of that guy. DFA him, send him to the minors. And look, sometimes that happens, and sometimes that is the right decision, and sometimes a player is just done. But there are also other times where, especially guys with the track record, they work their way out of it. I mean, this is an extreme example here, obviously, because the Yankees weren't going to entertain any thoughts. But go look at what Aaron Judge did back in April, and look at where he is now. I mean, Aaron Judge did not have a great start. Now, everyone was talking about Soto, and Aaron Judge got off to a slow start. Aaron Judge is right there with Soto now as an MVP candidate and has been unbelievable for the last 5 weeks because he's Aaron Judge. So Austin Hayes isn't that, obviously. But to your point, as you pointed out, I mean, he was an all-star last year. So this is, again, where Brandon Hyde has this challenge of, yeah, you're trying to win that night's game and you're trying to play the hot hand and you're trying to give these young guys opportunities. At the same time, you don't want to completely bury Austin Hayes. You don't want to completely bury Cedric Mullins because they do have a track record and it's not a guarantee that they're going to bounce back. But in most cases, because they're not 37 years old, they probably will bounce back. So, and to be clear, just because Austin Hayes hit two home runs on Monday night doesn't mean he automatically becomes an everyday player again or shouldn't, but it speaks to, hey, maybe this guy is getting going, and you know when Austin Hayes is swinging the bat well, he can be a guy that I wouldn't say carries you, but can certainly be one of your three or four main guys for a week or two at the very least. So it's good to see. Again, a reminder of why when he gets off to a bad start, you don't just get rid of him. Craig Kimbrel has two bad weeks. You don't just get rid of him. Cedric Mullins, who's been really bad, doesn't mean you just get rid of him. So,
well, I would also say from the starting pitching, because I was going to say this 20 minutes ago when we were talking about it, when Grayson Rodriguez is in trouble in the third inning, you don't just go get him because you got to play again tomorrow and the next day and the next day, right? So, like, yeah. Patience throughout all of this, it's baseball. It's a game of patience, like, literally. And fans that want the here and the now and the football and the hockey fan doesn't, you know, like, out with the old, in with the new, all of that. You know, that's not who this organ is. That's not who Mike Elias is. And I'll continue to tip my cap to him for dealing with Angelos, for coming in here, for working on a twisted budget, but also for changing things and being clearly a genius, right? I mean, literally, right? A baseball genius.
Well, I think the proof is in the results. And look, we can talk about trade deadline deals and what that's going to be, what it wasn't last year with Fuji and Jack Flaherty. That didn't work out so well, but look at all these other moves that have been made. You know, look at Ryan O'Hearn, for example. You know, I mean,
but
that
you're not
was
afraid to fail either, because that's going to happen. That's
well, you can't. Right. You can't be right. Ultimately, you know what's going to happen, because you made mention of the name Jake Arrieta. They're going to trade a Jake Arrieta at some point, and he's going to end up popping and being an all-star. And Joey Ortiz, I'm not shocked by what he's doing so far. And I'll also point out, it's only been a couple months. Let's see what he's doing come July and August and September and even next year, because we've even talked about guys like Corbin Carroll, who was rookie of the year in the NL a year ago and is really struggling. Look at the Blue Jays. As we're talking about it, look at the Blue Jays with some of these guys. I mean, Vlad Guerrero 3 years ago, you thought he was going to be Aaron Judge, basically. Vlad Guerrero has been pretty middling since then. I mean, like, I'm not saying he's bad. Middling's the wrong word. But he hasn't looked like a top five player in the American League the last couple years, you know? It's really tough to maintain that level.
What Gunnar Henderson's doing right now at 22, right?
I mean, Gunnar went from rookie of the year to MVP. You know, I mean, Vlad Guerrero, you thought he was going to be a perennial MVP guy, and the last couple of years, it hasn't looked that way. I mean, Bo Bichette, another one, looked like he was going to be an absolute stud. I mean, he's got a .345 slugging percentage right now. You know, he's having a bad year. So go down the list of those Blue Jays team, you know, that Blue Jays lineup and that team that had such expectations. You know, they were kind of perceived 3 years ago as the Orioles are now, as this up-and-coming young
and with money
team.
And because they're Canada's team. I've often, you know, I always say that whenever I go up there, it's such a hockey place and Edmonton's in the finals now, but like, they could buy anything they wanted, the Blue Jays, you know what I mean? Like, they could be the Yankees if they wanted to be.
Although they tried to buy Ohtani and then the Dodgers just threw stupid money at them.
Oh, well, I understand that, but points out that they're in the Ohtani bidding.
We're trying.
You know who wasn't in the Ohtani bidding? Mr. Rubenstein and Mr. Angelos, right? Like, and probably Mr. Rubenstein will never be in that bidding because he's going to have to figure out Henderson and figure out Rutschman because they're growing their own players. Figure out Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, you're
Yeah.
hoping you want to keep some of these guys at least. You're not going to keep everyone, but you're hoping to keep some. So, but yeah, I mean, it again points to this being difficult. And just because you're great 1 year doesn't mean you're guaranteed to be great the next year. At the same time, if you are going through some struggles and you have guys with the track record, you want to be patient. You want to be as patient as you can be, right? Cedric Mullins sat on Monday night. We've been seeing him sit much more frequently. Austin Hayes has been a fourth outfielder since mid-April, right? So that doesn't mean that that's going to be the way it is now moving forward, but we also know that, yeah, Colton Cowser's in the mix and Kyle Stowers is in the mix. And what's Heston Kerstad going to do? And, all these factors are at work, and we know that change is going to come. They're not extending Austin Hayes. They're not extending Cedric Mullins. I don't think they're extending Anthony Santander. And really, there's not a very strong argument to do that for any of those guys. Maybe Santander, if the money would be just right, in a sense of knowing that he's probably not going to get crazy money on the open market. But point is, they've got younger guys who project to be better players. Keep in mind, Austin Hayes, it took him a couple years to figure it out. Cedric Mullins was demoted, sent all the way to double A after he made his debut. So we talk about this a lot. Player development is not linear. You made mention of it. Baseball is a game of patience. You know what else it's a game of? Failure. There's a lot of failure that goes on in baseball. Even the best players fail 6 out of 10 times. 7 out of 10 bothers me because we take out walks and on base percentage when we say 7 out of 10. So I say 6 out of 10 for the greatest players. But it really is something that you have to keep in mind on a daily basis. And I think the Orioles, for the most part, they've done a good job with that. And hey, sometimes a guy needs a reset and you send Jackson Holliday down. But you also recognize that Jackson Holliday is probably still going to be a really, really good player for the Orioles. Just because he had 10 bad games doesn't mean that you give up on him or anything crazy like that. So
Dude's
yeah,
barely
we'll see how.
shaving. He can't even drink.
Exactly. So we'll see how it plays out. But hey, even guys who are older and able to drink and able to shave, it's still very difficult for them. It's a very difficult ball game. So yeah, that's part of what the beauty of it, right? Things that happen that surprise you and things, don't always go your way, but there's a lot going their way for the Orioles as they continue to navigate this month of June and chase the Yankees. But hey, they're still in a really, really good spot and a good way to open the road trip on Monday night.
For those of you who watch us out on our YouTube channel and at BaltimorePositive.com, wearing my State Fair Catonsville, Maryland shirt. We'll be at a State Fair on Thursday before the Blue Jays game. Come on out, stop by, get some chicken and waffles, get some lunch, get a wrap, get that delicious salmon and rice thing that Chef Keith puts together over there for us. We'll be there Thursday morning. Game's at 1 o'clock against the Blue Jays. Cooper's on Tuesday, and again, Cooper's in Fells Point next Friday. Next Wednesday, we're going to be at Coco's, and then we're over in my homeland of Dundalk at Costas, where I had dinner the other night. My wife's banged up and trying to get her leg together. Big thanks to everybody that's given my wife some love the last couple days. We'll be at Costas on the 20th before the Yankees game. And then on the 25th, up at Pappas in Parkville, my neck of the woods, with Jeannie and everybody there having the chicken franchise and a crab cake. And that'll be on the 25th of the month. So all of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Pac-Man scratch-offs to give away. If you've been watching the Orioles, they're playing every night. They're hitting home runs. John Martin's running around trying to pay all these bills. More grand slams. More bases loaded situations for home run riches. Our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare and Liberty Pure Solutions putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. Luke and I had a great crab cake conversation at Fadley's last Friday. I also was joined by Bill Henry and Damie Hahn talking about eating these invasive blue catfish. And when you see catfish bites on the menu, eat those things. Get those dirty SOBs out of the bay. Invasive creatures, kind of like Yankees fans, Red Sox fans. Get them out of here. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.